Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance so you can protect your tandem bike on the go.
Thief!
Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Teacher Quit Talk. I'm Fraz.
I'm Redacted. We missed you.
We missed you so much, but we're so excited to get back into it with one of my favorite episodes. We're really returning to our roots.
We are. I think we needed it.
We did. Oh my God. So you guys, tis the season. It's June. So you quit. Congratulations. But I do want to read the one. There is one in our inbox. I need to read this. This person said, I don't know when your next field trip episode will be, but I've been wanting to send this in for so long. And you know what? Good for you for just taking initiative.
You're in.
You caught my eye with the shiny subject line, the FBI crashed our field trip. Perfect. I'm derailing this entire episode now because I need to know.
So we're going to do some submissions. We're going to yap. We're going to chat. It's going to be a great time. A few people just ended school. Today is Tuesday, June 24th. I saw multiple people post. Today's Tuesday. On Friday, so like a couple days ago, I saw multiple people be like, last day of school. And I was like, oh my God.
Howie. We're going to be so jealous of them, though, in September. Well, not we, because I don't teach anymore. But I...
You're like, I'll still be jealous.
I still will be. Be like, damn, you're going back after like the holiday in September, the patriotic one, Labor Day.
Labor Day.
Yeah.
Labor Day is one of the few holidays that I give a fuck about, because when people say the men and women that died for our freedom, that's who I'm talking about. The Labor Day people. Because it's to like honor all the workers that died in the labor movement where like the Pinkertons and the government killed them because they were like, hey, could we have time off? And they were like, I'll kill you. Don't ever say that again. And then they killed a bunch of them. And then even more of them were like, okay, you killed all those people, but we still would like time off and minimum wage maybe. And so whenever people say like, well, these people that died, obviously like, thank you. And like for your service and sacrifice. But to me, the gains of the labor movement, the weekend, minimum wage, overtime and workers' comp are like the main gains that affects our day-to-day life way more than anybody that died in like the War of 1812. So when people say like the people who fought and died for your rights, I'm talking about the people that got killed by a Pinkerton. That's who I'm referring to.
Oh my God. You know what? We really need to open the schools, because for a very long time I thought that it was about veterans. And I
don't
know why.
That's Memorial Day.
But why
everyone mixes up the two?
Yeah, but it's labeled Labor Day. You'd think that I would have been like, oh yeah, labor for the labor movement. No, I was like, labor for the veterans. All right, moving on.
They worked so hard. You thought Memorial Day was for the people fighting, and you thought Labor Day was for like the people that are like the Navy cook and like the janitors.
No. I thought one was for living people and one was for dead ones.
Oh, no. I think what you're thinking of is Memorial Day is for people that died in war, and Veterans Day is for just like, it's not for people that died, but it's a little more directed at people that are alive.
No, I was thinking of Veterans Day, and I don't know when that is. All right. Well, now that I've shown that I know fucking nothing, follow me for education policy, not for my knowledge of fucking holidays, okay?
My old principal made us all wear camo for Veterans Day, and I was like, isn't this triggering in a way? Like, imagine, like, you walk into your civilian job and just everyone's in camo. Like, I didn't like it. I wore camo pants and a green shirt, but, like, I didn't want to.
Oh, my God. Which principal was this?
I actually don't even think it was a principal. It was at my old school, and it was, like, I don't know whose idea it was. I just remember the principal came over the PA and said it. I don't even remember which one it was.
Miami's a crazy place, you guys.
It was pre-COVID, so I think it was the principal, because there's a photo, and we don't have masks on in the photo. So I think it was my like normal principal who was literally team like, I don't give a fuck. Like if anyone had any idea to do anything for the school, he was like, go for it.
Amazing.
And like if you ever asked camo. Him anything, like at one time I was a first year teacher, I had a question about standardized testing and he literally looked at me and goes, Miss So-and-so is in charge of testing, so please don't ask me anything about any of that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, sir.
But if you were like, hey, I need flashcards, he would like make an attempt to get them. But like he just really, when it came to like making a plan or choices, he was like, we have so many beautiful qualified people who would love to do that. So
I won't be. What a trip. Teaching is such a fever dream. Okay. Well, hang on. Wait. We need to... I need to go back to the field trip episode. Okay. Not episode. This says, this all happened in summer school of 2021, the end of my very first year teaching, and the end of the Zoom era in my state. I teach at an inner city middle school where a lot of kids don't have access to a pool or a place to learn to swim. In summer school, we took a field trip to a water park on a lake 2 hours away.
Immediately no. Boy. Immediately no.
So we took a bunch of fucking kids that don't know how to swim to a lake.
Oh, inner city kids that don't know how to swim? Let's go. 2 hours away, get you real uncomfortable, get you in a place you've never been, get you feeling real dysregulated. And then, as if the water park was not enough, it's next to a lake. So at any moment, someone could escape and be in a natural body of water.
Why don't we just blindfold the kids and spin them around three times and push them? Like,
let's put them all in the water with UGG boots on while we're at it.
Hey, oh my Lord. Okay. Okay. So it says before we went, I
whoever planned this did not see my 8-minute TikTok about water safety the other day. They did not see it.
I was dealing with crises of my own creation. So I literally saw the beginning. It was like full agree, moving on. Like was it about boats?
It was about two things. One, it was about people not putting their kids in a life vest on a boat. And then the second part was about when you have like a pool party and everyone's watching the kids, how if you don't have a designated person like specifically watching them, because children drowning is silent, like it can just get very scary. And I was saying how when I was a lifeguard, sometimes people would hire me to like come to the pool at their house if they were having a pool party. And I was like, just do that. Lifeguards are teenagers. It'll be cheap. Like, it'll just that's be better really that
smart.
Way.
I remember when Jay was really, really little, we went on a boat and everybody thought I was insane because I had ordered like three different life vests to try to figure out which ones. And they have to be like Navy approved or something. There's like a seal that they have to be
because a lot
approved.
Of people have what they think is a life vest. It's not a life vest. It's a puddle jumper, which are those. Mm-hmm. And those are great. I do really like those for kids that are like learning to swim because they're good. But the puddle jumpers are just like a thing across here with the little armbands. And the problem with those is basically to get the Navy seal, it has to flip you upright. And in a puddle jumper, you can be upside down. So that's why if a kid doesn't know how to swim, I don't like those. But to be a true like certified... Who the fuck is that? To be like a true certified... Sorry, someone texted me I can't come to your engagement party, but I don't have their number, so...
Nope. Who's this?
But no, what you're saying is true. Like the true certified life vest. So a lot of states have a law that like, and some people have gotten in trouble because they'll get pulled over on the boat and they get fined for the kid not having a life vest on. And they're like, but that is a life vest. And the cop is like, it's not. Like,
no,
you were lied to several times.
Yeah. I mean, that is so, 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 so important. And it's bulky and it's big and it's not fun and it's hot, but you have to do it. Too bad, so sad. Like, you want a baby on a boat or a child on a boat? Technically, we're supposed to be wearing life vests on a boat, but we're, whatever.
That's what I said.
At least we can
dom
them
too.
If we're sinking.
And what I always see is that, like, when people are expecting to be swimming, they wear a life vest, but if everyone's fully clothed, suddenly they feel like they don't need it now. So, and that's like where you have to be careful because it's easier to drown if you're fully clothed. Because like I said, UGG boots, like your shoes fill with water and it gets heavy. So what I was saying is I always see videos of people on a boat like, oh, Sunset Cruise, everyone's fully clothed where kids are just like walking around. And I'm like,
oh, hell no.
I know you think like you don't need a life vest in that moment and you have this false sense of security, but like that's actually when you need it.
No. I would rather everyone think I'm an absolute lunatic than my child drown. So let's go into my anxiety about this. I literally have locks on my toilets because I am afraid of a child, like, because W, like, is in everything. She's crazy. If she tips and sticks her head in there and falls, she's stuck. She's going to drown. No standing bodies of water, like,
even like a bucket. I saw a really scary PSA about a dad washing his car and a toddler like waddled out and fell in the bucket when he was like on the other side of the car.
Mm-hmm. One time my husband took the kids out of the bathtub and left the plug in one time. And I went so insane. I can't even tell you how it was like. He never did it again.
You should be able to shoot your spouse with a BB gun. Your husband, not your spouse. Yeah. I think you should be able to shoot your husband only with a BB gun.
If you have a wife, you're clear.
Twice a month. Like, you get 2 a month where you just get to shoot him.
Listen, I'm in full agreement with the water safety thing.
Oh, I want to hear your opinion because some people were shading this lady on TikTok, but I like kind of think she was right. Her whole like family in law, like her husband's side of the family, was calling her insane, saying she was being like annoying, whatever, because they wanted to rent a house like for a family trip, and the house had a pool, but the pool didn't have like a gate or a lock or anything like that. Like the she said she had a toddler who was like very active and didn't know how to swim, and she was like, I don't feel comfortable sitting at the house. And she was like, everyone's telling me I'm being crazy because there's so many adults and nothing's gonna happen. And I was like, and people were asking her, people were saying like, oh, it'll probably be fine, like just keep and I was like, I didn't comment because I was like, I literally need to see the pool, like, and meet every individual adult there, because I was like, I don't think she's wrong for being concerned about that. And everyone was saying that she was a bitch because she was going to stay somewhere else.
No, I wouldn't go. I don't care if my kid does know how to swim. I literally would not go. I don't care if that makes me crazy. I don't care if that makes me a bitch. Like, I think that is, when we were house hunting, any house that we saw with a pool, instantly I knew that the second we even brought our children to that house, it would be filled in with cement or ripped out or whatever it had to be. Like, it would be gone, period. Like, I do not fuck around with that. Because why nobody, if everybody's watching the kid, nobody's watching the kid. And like my children, I just, maybe it's my anxiety, maybe I'm fucking crazy, but like I can't even imagine that. So I got a splash pad, it's over there, but mm-hmm. it's like literally, it's a bumper around like this wide,
but it's like flat, like it doesn't have standing water, it just like it's like a
it has
like
about
a sprinkler.
3 inches, yes. Oh. But it has about 3 inches. Because the bumper part fills up and then it, like, whatever. It came with a tag that says designated water watcher. And it, like, says to give to an adult.
Oh.
And then you have to be the person with, like, eyes on the kids. And then you give it to somebody else if you need to. And, like, a tag like that. When I saw that, I was like, that is so stinking clever. Like, maybe not for the splash pad because I think I can handle that on my own, you know?
But, like, they would have to be actively trying to drown themselves, I think.
Yeah, or you'd have to have, like, a really little baby who can't.
Lift their own neck.
Yeah, because they can, you know, it's possible, but, like, my kids are bigger. But I was like, damn, that would be a really good idea to have that for, like, a pool or something, just if you don't have a lifeguard that you can hire. But anyways, no, I
saw, I'm and I talked about that person. In the TikTok, not the little tag, that's cute. I saw a family used a stopwatch, like the necklace one.
Oh, yeah.
And they just set it for 20 minutes. And like when it's your 20 minutes, you wear it and it's your fucking
That's
problem.
Smart.
And then like when the timer goes off, you pass it.
That's so smart. No, it's so, so, so important.
I think the people that take water safety the most serious are, it's specifically one person. The lady that lived in the neighborhood where I used to be a lifeguard, who would take her infant children and then throw them into the pool and force them to learn how to swim when they were literally infants. I watched her do this with three different children.
DIY ISR.
No, literally, that was her. And it would give me so much anxiety because she would come very early in the morning, take her 6-month-old baby. She would stand on the stairs and just eat
them. Oh, my Jiminy Christmas. I think you need a training for ISR, but she was like, no, I don't have the money for that. We're just going to raw dog it, I guess.
No, but all of her kids could swim. Like, I worked there for years. So, like, and other parents would be, like, freaking out. And I was, by the second kid, I was like, no, trust her. Like, she knows more than all of us.
Maybe she invented ISR.
ISR queen?
Yeah, she's the mother, like, of ISR.
Her English wasn't, like, 100% there. So the first time I was, like, trying to talk to her about it, she was like, no, no, they're good. And I was yes.
Okay, ma'am. Yeah.
Those kids can fucking swim. Oh, like, God. By age one, those kids were doing laps.
Damn. I need to get on her level.
Is that fighting, like, every instinct you have in your body to just, like, throw your infant into a pool?
For this story, I'm going to just say a massive trigger warning because it has a very scary drowning situation in it.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm ready, though.
Yeah. It looks like everything's okay. Yes, okay. Everything ends okay. I'm going to spoiler alert it just so you know, but I want you to know that this is, like, really scary.
Yikes.
Okay, so this is a water safety episode now. Anyways, okay, it says, before we went to the water park on the lake, this person said, I tried my best to prepare my seventh graders with, quote, imaginary swimming practice in my room. My main rule was that if you need help, scream, wave your arms, and don't drown the person trying to save you. That is a good tip. That's hard to do when you're drowning, but if you can, don't do that. Picture this. We roll up with 200 inner city kids with little to no swimming experience in their jeans and socks because they don't have swimsuits. Wait, what? Because they didn't have swimsuits, wouldn't show their toes. They don't want to show their toes.
Do you want me to explain the no flip-flops, no toes thing?
Yes, please.
So the kids will bully each other. Like, they'll be like, oh, you got your dogs out. And they'll, like, comment about each other's toes. And, you know, toes are just, like, not the most attractive part of the human body. So that having your toes out is very vulnerable for them. So, like, when I wear Birkenstocks, I have to make sure that, like, my toes are either painted or not painted, because if it's anything in between, there will be comments about it. So I understand. These kids were like, you think I'm gonna get my toes out around these fucking mean people? Absolutely not.
Oh my God. Meanwhile, kindergartners will literally, like, pet your toes if they're out. You got to be careful on the rug, because if you're sitting reading a book, whoever's in the front row is gonna pet those toes.
That's really disturbing.
I used to have shoes that had pom-poms on them, and they would sit and pet the pom-poms. And I was like, that's so much better than my toes.
Yeah, I like the pom-poms. I think that's nice.
Yeah. It was like a nice little fluffy thing that I had a barrier and couldn't feel their fingers on my toes. Anyways. Okay, good. Okay. It says, luckily the park had life jackets, but there were no life guards. Oh my God.
Is that legal?
Who the fuck? Who planned this? And can we all call this fucking place and be like, put a lifeguard in place, you dumbasses. Okay. It says, the float is about 50 yards away from the shore. Picture at the bottom. Look at this picture I sent you.
Okay.
This is where they took
these kids. They don't have a lifeguard? I have never seen murkier water in my entire life.
Guys, if you're listening and you are not on the YouTube, this is like, it's like a giant flotation device.
It's not a water park. It's one of those, like, they have, it's like an obstacle course they have on TV challenges where it's like inflatable slides and ladders and trampolines. It's inflatables in a lake. It's not a water park. Like, it's not on concrete. It's not a pool. It's not chlorine. It is an open body of water with a bunch of inflatable obstacle courses on it.
This is literally insane. It says the float is about 50 yards away from the shore. And since many of the teachers in our school were pretty old, they assigned my 22-year-old self and two other teachers in their mid-20s to, quote, water duty, while all of the other teachers sat in the shade on the shore. First, we had all the kids lock arms like a human chain and swam like sled dogs to pull them through the water in their life jackets to float. They started running around and playing and having a great time, but then one boy who was especially worried about swimming for the first time in 13 years fell off the float, and since his life jacket was too big, it turned inside out, covering his head and face when he hit the water. He followed our, quote, swim training perfectly and screamed with his arms up. I jumped in and grabbed him by the life jacket to turn it the right way, and he didn't fight against me at all, and neither of us drowned. I considered that a success and thought that was going to be my crazy story of the day, but no. Okay, this is the really scary part, you guys. You can skip it if you need to. Says 10 minutes before it was time to leave, an eighth grade boy tackled an eighth grade girl into the water off the floaty. They hit heads, and when she was in the water, she had a seizure. She was limp, unconscious, and drowning, and her only help was three first-year teachers. She was 5'10", and my 5'4 self could barely move her through the water. It took all three of us to get her onto the floaty, which was still 50 yards from the shore. We screamed for our principal on shore, but he couldn't hear us. None of the kids could swim back to get him. We sent one teacher back, and he got a paddleboard while we gave her a combination of the Heimlich and CPR. We sandwiched the girl between me and the other female teacher sitting on the paddleboard and got her to shore. Then the other teachers put down their juice boxes and had to step in. 200 middle school kids were screaming and crying, and we still had to tote them all back from the float to land. Because remember, none of them can fucking swim. When we got to shore, we learned that this lake was in fact on native land. Therefore, it was federal jurisdiction. And when the ambulance arrived, so did the FBI. This is at Keystone Lake in Oklahoma. We need to write some fucking reviews. Says they questioned everyone about the incident and took the girl to the hospital. One of my seventh graders was a close witness and got pulled for questioning, and he fainted. We rode the full 2 hours back in total silence. The girl ended up being fine and came to school the next week, and plot twist, nobody got sued, but we can never go back there.
Never should have went in the first place, but...
Somebody should have got fucking sued. And you know what? This to me is such... If this had not been inner city kids, if this had been a bunch of fucking, like, yuppie white people, somebody would have gotten fucking sued.
Absolutely. And, like how does this place exist? How does this place exist?
I am so pissed on behalf of these kids and their families, because you bet your fucking ass, if that happened to my kid, I would be so upset. I can't even tell you.
We would be at the Supreme Court.
It is so sickening to me that there was no legal action taken, but I know for a fact that legal action is very, very difficult to pursue. People are always like, oh, sue. You can't just sue. It takes money up front to sue. Yeah. Even if somebody says, like, oh, you get nothing unless you win, when you're in that position, it's very, very scary to be like, I'm going to put everything on the line, because there's never a guarantee that you're going to win. Even if you think you have everything lined up and you're going to win, you can't prove that. You can't predict the fucking future or the judge you're going to get or whatever. So a lot of people just say, you know what, the risk isn't worth it, and they don't do it. I'm sick. It says, oh, they just ended it and said that they're in their fifth year at that school, and then they love the kids and they feel like they have the best job in the world. I mean, thank goodness for you, dude, but, like, holy shit.
It's wow. Just literally such a bad idea.
It couldn't be a worse idea. I cannot understand. I cannot. I'm so mad. So... content warning over. I'm glad that it had a happy ending, but in a way it didn't, because somebody should have been in jail. And the teacher is sitting there doing nothing on the shore, and you have 200 kids with three teachers. What fucking ratio is that?
200 kids in water that can't swim. Even if you have 200 kids watching a movie, that's still technically illegal.
I'm deceased. Okay, well, anyways, do you want to read one from the Gmail or the Patreon?
Yeah, let me grab one of these Gmail ones.
So we're gonna move on to quitting now that we've done our water safety episode for the past 45 minutes.
Water safety is important. It's the season for water safety. Okay, this one is titled quitting, I guess. Not really real. I am the same teacher from last year who ran a theater program without a stage and was expected to put on a play with a month's delay on scripts with a class of freshman football boys. Update. I did find another job in education. It's been a much, much better year, but we did have issues. It is a charter school, with the school day being 7:15 a.m. to 4:15 p.m.
You're at KIPP. I know you're at KIPP because I worked at KIPP, and that's the exact hours of our school.
Oh my God. And that is not counting after school meetings or events once or twice a week. At one point, they needed someone for a 3-day overnight trip to Dallas. Can't think of a worse place. And they decided I was one of the teachers they trusted. Let this be a lesson in being good at your job. Always be bad at your job. It's better for everyone involved.
Always.
That being said, my position is a teacher's dream. I taught AP English Lang for all juniors. We are AP for all. Does that mean all the kids have to take AP? Isn't that kind of the opposite of the point of AP?
I guess. That's interesting.
But our charter school prizes small classes. Oh. Hmm?
This is providing all public high school students access to at least 5 AP classes.
Oh, okay. This is actually really good, I think. I think I know what this is. A lot of times, smaller schools don't offer as many AP classes just because they don't have, like, let's say you only have 8 kids that want to take AP. You can't fund an entire teacher position for a class of 8 kids in a regular public school. So a lot of smaller schools don't offer them if they don't have enough students for them. And I think I've heard of this. This is an initiative where basically they give you extra money to allow you to offer it, even if you don't have a full class of kids there.
Interesting.
So no, okay. So I think AP for all means that, like, whether or not you have the student population to warrant it, they have to offer it, not all the kids have to take it, because that didn't make sense to me.
Got it. Yeah.
But our charter school prizes small class sizes, so we only had 86 juniors take or leave the usual amounts of transfers or removals across 6 class periods. My smallest class was 9 and my largest was 18. Okay, this is like really fucking dope. I loved it. I made great connections. We developed as a class community, and I was really able to give my students attention to their work that they deserved. That said, at the end of the year, I heard rumors my position was in danger. We are scaling a campus, which means I was the first junior English teacher this campus ever had. Well, with our campus enrollment being what it was, I was told that likely the following year I would teach all juniors and seniors. This would bring my class sizes across 2 contents to about 150 to 160 students overall, and 2 preps with 1 planning period and 30 people classes. So basically you had this like dope situation with these really small classes, and now because the school's getting bigger, I guess they're like, you can just teach all of them, that's fine. I totally understand that for a lot of teachers this is not a crazy situation, but once again I would like to remind you, this is a charter school where we're asked to do weekend recruitment, make ADA phone calls, and host parent teacher meetings with any student I've ever failed. Ugh,
what in tarnation,
for real. After I found this out, I immediately started looking for employment elsewhere, and I got a few offers, but nothing seemed like a great fit. I do acknowledge that my great year probably made me feel a bit spoiled in what I wanted, but I'm going to call it knowing my worth. Ain't that the damn truth? Because I felt like the 23 to 24 school year, I was very spoiled. Like, I had really good admin. I had 90 minutes a day of planning. Like, I didn't have any meetings. We had 1 20-minute meeting per week, and I was like, oh, this is hitting. And now it's like, I can't go back. Like, you gotta live good. Once you know better, you do better. Anyway, mid-June comes around and suddenly I get a message from my current principal asking me to have a meeting that afternoon. Ooh. I'm doing summer school. I was on campus and she is not crazy. Perfect. I go to the meeting and she tells me, 1, she knows that I've been looking elsewhere. Kill me. And 2, she talked to the district and she got them to not give me the double content and hire another English teacher for 11th grade. I will now be moving up with the juniors and be the first senior level teacher on campus. I get to see this class grow and graduate. I was thrilled. I have deep issues with some of the campus and the campus culture. Again, parent teacher meeting to fail a student every grading period, after school meetings that could last until 5:30, giving me a school day of 7:15 to 5:30 twice a week. The printer never worked. Printers work in public schools. 2025 challenge. We'll fail every time. Like, it's just never going to happen for us. The printer never worked, and we would get passive-aggressive messages from the admin who oversee that, telling us to stop ripping the paper out. Girl, if it got stuck and the tiniest little speck of paper was in the machine, get better printers then. I don't think I'm going to stay here 20 years, but I'm happy with where I am, and I'm looking forward to teaching this curriculum to a great group of students. Mostly. One of them did get, they said suspected, but I think they meant suspended. One of them did get suspended because I told him to put away his laptop and he played a video in which someone else said, fuck off, N-word. I want to be clear, it did not say N-word, it said the word. Also,
oh no.
But they did get suspended because at my school, they would have been like, misredacted, that's a classroom managed behavior. So.
Oh, no.
Also, side note, I heard through my previous teacher bestie that the campus my principal. that the campus my principal at my previous school has been replaced with the current middle school teacher, and the principal who fired me has been moved to the middle school. Yes! Yes! This is after a year in which 8 teachers out of 40 left, so clearly I was not the only one having issues.
Oh my gosh.
Send them to middle school. Middle school is prison for administrators. It's either hazing or prison. Because this is what I've noticed happens. A lot of administrators, they make them be an administrator at a middle school first. Like, they're like, you've been promoted over there. Go on. Because I know multiple high school teachers that applied to be administrators. And they're like, get on over there. And they like haze them. And make them do that for a couple years before they'll transfer them back to a high school. Or I've seen a high school administrator who's incompetent and really bad at their job, but hasn't done anything illegal, so they can't be fired, that they're like, let's get you down there. Let's get you overseeing those middle schoolers.
Let's give this a whirl, guys. Oh my God. Middle school just is so scary to me, though.
Because it's a little more the Wild West of education. This is what I've noticed, is that, like, generally when lawmakers are doing education policy, they care about two things, or like two categories. They care about small children, because that's very like politically hot. Like, they're like, we love the kids, like they're kissing babies, they're teaching them cursive, like they're like early childhood, elementary is their focus, like literacy. Or their focus is high school graduation rates, job training, things like that. Like, those both get you a lot of like political clout. There's no political clout to be gotten with middle schoolers. So it just turns into this like weird dumping ground of staff.
It's like the island of misfit toys.
And then there's like 20% of middle school employees that are truly doing the Lord's work and like built for it and like care right. about it and love it. Like, when nerds teach, she's one of them. Like, she's that 20%. Like, that's like, they really are called to work with that age group, because that is... I think Maria Montessori had some points. Do you know her stance on middle schoolers?
Yes.
She thinks they should be doing farm labor.
They love it. They yearn for it. They invent games about it. They want to be in the mines. Let them be.
Okay, do we have another submission we want to read?
This one says, had to share my story. Hi, Fraz and Redacted. I'm a TikTok follower that's very late to the game and recently discovered the podcast. I've been binging it, and you two truly make me laugh out loud, and I feel like we'd be friends IRL. Aw, thanks. Anyways, I just had to share my story. Maybe you can talk about it in a future episode. I apologize in advance for how long it is. I know you're new, but we don't apologize for how long it is, okay? We need you to be detailed.
It says, I want to know what socks you were wearing when it happened.
Exactly. Tell me fucking everything. It says, I promise it's a good one, so buckle up, besties. My trauma. Ooh, this is long. Okay, here we go. In 2020, when COVID hit, I knew that I wanted to move back home to New York from Virginia. I have my certifications in elementary, early childhood, and special education. I taught gen ed in Virginia after college for a few years. And even at the time in 2021, when I was job searching for positions up here in New York, there wasn't the teacher shortage just yet, and it was tough to find positions. I decided to make the switch to special education to make myself more marketable, and I've always loved working with kids with special needs. I ended up getting a job as a 6-to-1, 6-to-1-on-1. I've not seen this ratio. 6-to-1 and then another :1. Okay. Teacher for a kindergarten to second grade classroom at a rural district about 35 minutes away from where I live. The principal who hired me was super nice. And I got great vibes from her. I was so excited about this job and school. The thing about my position is that it was brand new. Before that, there had been one special education teacher, we'll call her Sharon, and they ended up splitting her class into two separate classes, which is where I came along. Sharon was assigned to be my mentor since I was new to the district, and everyone raved about how amazing she was. Oh dear. About a week before the official start of the school year, the principal who had hired me emailed up. Summer break is here, and while kids are thrilled to hit pause on school, you might be wondering how to keep their brains engaged without turning your living room into a classroom. Whether your child is catching up, staying sharp, or racing ahead, IXL makes learning a seamless and honestly fun part of your summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are already using. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade,
and it is proven to boost test scores in almost every state. It's personalized, engaging, and designed to actually help kids understand what they're learning, not just memorize it. In our house, we love IXL because it's bite-sized practice that fits into our day. Whether your child needs extra help or just wants a challenge, IXL adapts to their level, personality, and pace so they feel supported and confident. It works for all your kids too. One subscription covers everything from ABCs to calculus, and it's more affordable than a single hour of tutoring. With built-in explanations, videos, and clear progress tracking, it's trusted by the best. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at www.ixl.com/today. Visit www.ixl.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Everyone's saying she took another position at another school. I was really bummed. For her replacement, they moved the assistant principal down from the high school to be the new principal of the primary school. That never goes well. Let's call her Pam. I believe that my favorite principal ever was a high school teacher that then got moved to primary, and she was wonderful. Typically, though, if you don't know, if you've never worked in elementary school, you may not know what the fuck to do in that setting. And it can be, it's obviously very different for the kids, very different for the teachers. I'm scared. Okay. The school year started, and it was good. I had 4 students, all with very severe needs, mainly behavioral needs and autism. I wasn't a new teacher, just newish to the special education world. I had my students in my gen ed classes with IEPs, and I did a special education student teaching placement. My TA, we'll call her Whitney, seemed okay. A little rough around the edges and sassy, but okay. There was also a temporary person in my room as a one-on-one aide for one of the kids until they could find a replacement to be his aide full-time. The kids' behaviors were tough, but I was doing my best and seeing little successes here and there that made me proud. Around the end of September, I got a call from the woman who was in charge of the mentoring program. She told me that she had received complaints about my classroom management, and she wanted me to come in the next morning before school to meet with her. I was taken aback, as not one person had said anything to me about it. Sharon, the mentor, gave me pointers here and there, but nothing major. Pam, principal, would stop in, ask me if I needed anything, and move on. Classic. I expressed shock on the phone after I hung up with her. I immediately went to the bathroom, called my mom, and sobbed. This was my 6th year of teaching, and it made me upset that whoever this person was couldn't come to me and instead went to the supervisor of the mentoring program. After I called my mom, I went to Pam's office again and broke down crying. I have anxiety and am a people pleaser. Lol. Same girl.
But I, like, don't make yourself feel like something's wrong with you for being upset at that, because I think that that's a really rational and normal response to be very hurt that someone went and instead of just addressing something with you, they went to, like, your management mentor supervisor and you didn't even know who it was. Like, that is hurtful, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I told her I was doing my best, spending so much time outside of school prepping and doing things to help the kids. She was nice and told me not to worry. She could see I was doing a good job and that she is the only person's opinion who mattered. She also told me verbatim, "It's not like I'm going to fire you." Oh no. Was this foreshadowing?
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. This made me feel better, and I went to the meeting the next morning. But again, there I was breaking down in tears. The mentor coordinator told me the same thing Pam told me. She told me that's just the culture of the school. People are very gossipy. They even told us at orientation that you better go to the school football games and events or, quote, people will talk. Are you in the South? It says, Sharon had told me to never leave even a minute early, as admin will watch you on the cameras and call you out on the PA system. I was starting to get bad vibes now about
the same school of adminning.
Right? It reminds me of you.
Have a conversation as a professional? No, no, no. Let's hop on that live stream and blast him over the PA.
So awful. She says, my previous school was not like this at all. Well, normal ones aren't, girl. Since the meeting was before school, I then went into my classroom to do my job. When I get there, Pam is sitting there at a back table with her laptop. She sat there the entire day watching my every move and typing. watching typing for the entirety of the school day.
Did you ask Pam, hey queen girl boss, what's you good? Like, what's going cracking, on?
Girl? She says, I was already so anxious. I had cried to her the day before, and then she comes in and watches me like a hawk for over 6 hours. The next day, Pam meets with me and tells me I give the students too many breaks and there needs to be more instructional time. Oh, God. Mind you, at the time, I had one kindergarten student who had still not turned 5 and had ADHD and fetal alcohol syndrome, one first grade student, and 2 second grade students with level 1 autism. I am a firm believer in giving kids breaks after they complete their work. She then told me I had to redo my entire schedule. I told her that I had copied and pasted my schedule from Sharon. She just kept saying it's too many breaks. So her, quote, plan to help me become a better teacher was for her to come in the next day and, quote, model for me each part of the day, starting with morning meeting, and then watch me teach that part the next day. So the next day she came in to do morning meeting, which she suggested.
The whole time the kids are like, who's this bitch?
I know, right? Like,
yeah. That's, whenever I hear about these kinds of stories, I always think about the kids in the class. And like, my perspective is with high schoolers. So when this has happened to me, they'll ask me like, who is this lady? We don't like her. But I'm imagining like small 5 and 6 year olds. Who also, like you mentioned, most of them are differently abled, and a lot of people in that category really thrive on consistency and structure and a schedule. So I'm just imagining them look around like, I don't know.
I know. Like, and they do. They do come, they're like, who is this? Or my favorite is I had kids once who they had, people came in during math, and they started bending down. It was during independent work time. They started bending down and trying to help the kids with their work. And the kids literally started yelling at them and were like, that's not how you do it. That's not how you do it. And I was like, LOL, yell at the suits. Get them. Get them.
Did I tell you recently when one of my kids yelled at a district person?
No, tell me.
It wasn't in my class. Thank fucking God. It was in math class because someone from the district came and apparently like went like this, like touched their shoulder and was like, hey, can you show me what you're working on and tell me about what you do? And she turned around. I love my school. I love the kids at my school, I should say. And she goes, you're not just going to come in this room as a stranger and think you can put your hands on people and be in my business like that. You need to say hello. What's your name?
Good for her. Good for her.
I was like, yeah, because that like you didn't even introduce yourself. Like,
no. Hi, how you doing? Nothing. Just grab the shoulder. No, absolutely.
Hello.
Not.
How are you?
Yeah, right. What happened to that? Okay, so the next day she came in to do morning meeting, which she suggested I make 30 minutes instead of my 10 to 15 minutes I had on the schedule for my Wiggly kids. I tried not to laugh in her face at the thought of these kids sitting for 30 minutes. Just like she wanted, I sat back and watched the show. When I tell you she could not control these kids for 5 minutes, the kindergartner was climbing all over her, spitting on her, and running around the room. Good. She got up when she was
the
done.
The kids delivered.
Yes.
They gave everything they needed to give.
Mm-hmm. She got up when she was done and said, never mind, keep it at 10 minutes, and I don't need to come in and model for you. You got this, and walked out.
Yes.
Around this time, I was seeking help from Sharon. One of Sharon's, quote, brilliant suggestions for my autistic student who screamed a lot was to, quote, shake a can of coins at him. I looked at her in disbelief and told her, no, I won't do that to my dog, let alone a child, period. Oh, another observation Pam had when coming into my room is, and I quote, you should have the students help Whitney take the trays down to the cafeteria after breakfast instead of doing puzzles. It'll teach them job skills since they'll probably just go into the food service industry anyways. Again, we are talking about 4 to 7 year olds. If these students' parents had heard her say this, I bet they would have been fuming. I know I would be if that were my child.
And like, same. Wait, what was the task she wanted them to do again?
Carry the breakfast trays down to the cafeteria instead of doing work or puzzles.
Oh, because what I was going to try and say, like, maybe if you had just said, because all human beings eat and they're 5 and that's a good thing for them to practice doing is carrying their own tray.
Right.
But because they'll probably work in food service. Ma'am, we can get you working in food service by the end of the week if anyone from the state licensing board heard you say that.
Exactly. I'll help. It says, I started documenting everything at this point and started looking for other jobs. This was taking a huge toll on my mental health, and I was incredibly stressed. Every day I walked in the building, I felt like I was going to throw up. I feel like I was being watched and I couldn't do anything right. Also around this time, Pam called me on a Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and left me a voicemail along the lines of, hi, I was looking at your schedule. Let's change the bathroom break time from 10:15 to 10:20 to 10:10 to 10:15 and on like that.
Again, 9 a.m. on a Sunday. Pam, does your family hate you? Like, what is this? Like, why are you, why is that at the, this is like, we can
go to brunch.
This in. My leader calls as an all staff call every Saturday at 3 p.m. So I get a call every Saturday at 3 p.m. with, oh, no, I'm wrong. That's the to everyone one. That one goes to the parents. So that one isn't horrible. It says, like, here's what's going on this week. We got this game. That one, I'm like, okay, whatever. Sunday is the teacher one. We get the call on Sunday. So it's like, it's not live. Like, it's recorded, and it's like him telling us whatever he feels, I guess. Again, every Sunday, I get this call.
Let's all go to brunch. Let's get a family moment going. Like, let's get a life. She says, I did not answer or respond to her because it was Sunday morning. This was right before Halloween. The evening before Halloween, she emailed me telling me she got me a sub for a half day in the afternoon for the next day, and then I would be spending 12 to 3 with her to revamp my schedule. I explained to her that I had already went out and bought tons of crafts and goodies for my kids, so can we please meet the following day? To which she replied, no. I was a ball of anxiety at that point, so I show up to work dressed in my coordinated costume with my aides and then leave to go to meet with Pam for 3 hours. She just had me sit there on my laptop and work on lesson plans and my schedule. I watched in jealousy as the rest of my students and staff had their Halloween fun. She told me she wanted me to submit. I know, that's really sad. In your costume, too. She told me she wanted me to
be in the reprimand meeting in the costume.
I know. It's so awful when that happens. She told me she wanted me to hang on. I live off of a freeway, so let's just hang on a second here. Okay. All right, gang.
I'm telling these laundry people, basically a big load of laundry is like mildewed, like fucking disgusting, smells so bad. So I'm doing, while we deal with this debacle, I just want these clothes clean. So I'm doing like that laundry pickup I did for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I said, our washer broke and would not drain, so the clothes have a mildew smell. Please use any strong chemicals and hot water needed. Because normally I have on there, it's like organic, dye-free, like whatever. And I'm like, delete that. Delete.
Go for it. Love this trend where people are looking over their shoulder and yelling and cussing people out and then turn around and say, who said that?
Who said that?
But I can't. There's so much that I want to say like that I can't come up with what I want for the video. You know what I mean?
I was just thinking like, oh, I want to make that. And then I was like, oh, what do I say? There's so much.
Literally so much.
Everything happens so much.
Okay, here we go. She told me she wanted me to submit my weekly lesson plans to her every Sunday for the upcoming week. No other teacher in the building had to do that. And also at this time, how could I forget? They had hired a woman for the one-on-one aide position in my room who was a special education teacher that was, quote, taking a pay cut because she wanted a foot in the door for the district and also happened to be good friends with the special education director, which I found out later. Weird coincidence, huh? We'll call this woman Sarah. Sarah was miserable, monotone, and had no personality. I sat in on her interview and was shocked that they hired her. So after the Halloween meeting, I come into work, try my best to do everything Pam is telling me to do. I made the mistake of confiding in Whitney what was going on, and she would say, I'm so sorry, Pam is crazy, etc. One day, I had a water table delivered to the classroom that someone was giving away. 2 out of 4 of my kids were absent. They had done a great job all week of following this ridiculous schedule with no break times whatsoever. Meanwhile, my classroom was connected to Sharon's classroom by a sliding door, so I would pop in there to ask her questions. One time I went in there to see her aide on the floor, wrestling with kids, just having a grand old time. Interesting that they were allowed to take breaks. So on this particular day, when half my class was absent and the 2 that came in had worked so hard, I told them they could have a few minutes to play in the water table that had just come in. I said, and I quote, to Sarah, again, my mistake, they worked so hard, and if Pam has a problem with this, I will defend myself. The next day, I was called in for a meeting with Pam. Actually, she was meeting with me every single day after school at this point to, quote, check in with me. We have parrots. If you're wondering what that noise is, there's a parrot above my head. Okay.
But this meeting, this day, I knew was different because the superintendent was there. Oh, shit. Pam told me how she had heard from someone that I let my kids have a break when it wasn't break time, according to her new schedule for me, and then repeated the quote I had said about defending myself. I said, yes, I'm sorry, but they worked really hard. I thought I had somewhat of a say as to what happens in my classroom. She then told me I was fired. Fired. For letting two children have a few minutes to play in a water table as a reward for working hard and not sticking to her damn schedule for those few minutes. After telling me, it's not like I'm going to fire you just a couple weeks before that. Luckily, the superintendent explained that I had the option of resigning. I said, oh, absolutely, I will be resigning. In fact, I had already been on another job interview. Also forgot to mention that I had reached out to the union, who was absolutely no help. The union rep told me, sweetie, this is our culture here. We like conformity. One time, a teacher didn't want to paint her nails pink like the rest of the team, and it was brought to the union, and she got in trouble. Like, what? Is this a sorority? I was in tears, of course. The kicker was when the superintendent told me, you're the age of my daughter. I'm so sorry. He had been so kind when he interviewed me. He acted like he had no say in the matter. I had just lost my dad unexpectedly to a heart attack a few months prior. So when he said that, I lost it. I asked when I could say goodbye to my kids. They said, you don't. You can't see them again. Come back on Friday after school to get all your stuff. So I did. I never heard a word from Sharon or Sarah. The one-on-one sub that had been in my room before ended up reaching out to me at the end of the school year saying she was so sorry about what happened to me and that she was leaving too. I ended up applying for the school where I worked at now the past 3.5 years. Next week is my last week of classroom teaching ever. I quit and will be doing early intervention with preschoolers, which I'm so happy about. I still have nightmares about this place. I still feel so upset about what happened to me. My mom wanted to write the local newspaper at the time, but I told her no.
I love moms.
They're too, like, man.
The mayor needs to hear.
Listen to what they did to my baby. I'm the same way, and my mom is the same way as well.
My mom wrote the local newspaper of Tallahassee when my car got towed.
Period. I love her. God. She says, I'm sure I'm forgetting some parts. Like, oh yeah, Sarah ended up taking my job immediately after I was basically bullied out of the position. Funny how that happened. And what's even funnier is that all this bullying and micromanaging started right when she got hired. Before that, everything was fine. I built such great relationships with those kids in 2 short months, and I made a great friend out of it. The school counselor, who was new alongside me, was a confidant during this time. She recently was one of my bridesmaids in my wedding. Oh yeah, and guess what happened to her? They cut her position about 1.5 years later. Because who needs mental health support, right? Even when you drive by the school on their banner thing that changes the message when you drive by, it says, your mental health matters. Thank you guys if you took the time to read this. I would love to hear your thoughts. My thoughts are, fuck that school.
Not that it's really the most important part of this, but did you take back the water table? Because I would have.
Oh my God, I would have made that room so bare. No, you know what? I say that, but remember when my maternity leave, my FMLA leave got denied by the principal? I left everything in that fucking room. I was like, I had just gotten, Sam's Club did like a sponsorship of my new room, and I was so excited because I was going back to kindergarten, and I got like a little baby armchair and like all kinds of cute shit. Left it in the room. I was like, I'm not going back. Enjoy! But I mean, Sam's Club did sponsor me to give to the children, so you're welcome. And it was a first year teacher that was taking over my room, but
I can
whatever.
Also see like if I got something from a company, I would leave it because, like, what? It's just going to sit in my garage. Like, yeah. I'd rather someone be using it. Like, this company gave this away for a child to use it. Exactly. But, like, if I paid for it with my cash money, nope, it's sitting in my garage.
Yeah, Yeah, that's pretty much what's happened. I have a lot of shit in my garage that I'm just like, well, I need to give it to a teacher, but I can't get my claws out of it just yet. So I will when I've come to terms and gone to therapy. Anywho, we have more that we should probably do another episode of these.
We should. I like doing the submissions, and I kind of like the chaotic submissions. That's like whatever, man.
Yes. Well, God, what a wonderful episode today. Thank you so much for joining us, friends.
We love you and we missed you. We're excited to do more. We're going to be better.
No, we really are. We're back. We're back, baby. Everybody's moved houses. Everybody's life has adjusted.
When we drop the 5-part episode. I'll give y'all a teaser now. We can leave this in. I'm making a little switcheroo next year. I'm going to be teaching something else. I'm still at my same school, but I'm going to be doing some other stuff. And when we, because of a variety of things that happened, some good and some bad, and when we drop the 5-part episode series about what led to the changes being made, I think you all will be like, yep, I would also not be recording a podcast while that's happening.
Yeah. We've had quite the past year. Basically, everything hit the fucking fan after Vegas. And
everything happened so much. And I mean that positively and negatively. Because we also both had many incredible things happen.
Absolutely.
And it was just like, wow, everything's happening. Wow.
Everything just kept happening.
And it just keeps going.
Yeah. But I feel like we're both resettled.
Yes.
And are fine now.
Yeah. We're like entering an era where we're like, okay, I can plan more than 12 hours in advance. Because that's really what it was. What always happens is like, if one of us is doing okay, we can still get the podcast scheduled. But when both of us are like, I'm just in this moment taking things as they come, we can't like get it together to schedule it. Because sometimes when I'm suffering, you'll be like, let me know when Ev's in the next 2 days and we'll log on. And then sometimes when you're suffering, I'm like, anytime in the next couple days, we'll pop on. But when we're both suffering, it's just like, I see you from over there across the country. We see each other. Like,
we see each other in passing on the internet and then...
Like ships in the night.
Like, I was just going to say like ships in the night, but we're... The ships have collided and formed a fleet.
Yeah, a fleet. Yeah. Not collided. They're,
no. They've merged.
They're coming together. We're in a fleet together. We have a parrot now. Official Teacher Quit Talk mascot.
Mm-hmm. This neighborhood has peacocks and parrots. So
I used to live in a place with peacocks and I loved it. People don't like it because you're not allowed to run them over and they know that. So sometimes they'll just like stop in the road. But
they're
like
loud
them.
As fuck.
They are. Have you ever seen the babies?
Yeah.
They're cute.
I love the babies.
In Miami Shores, there's a bunch of peacocks and people hate them. They literally hate them so much. And I'm like, how could you hate such a beautiful bird?
Right? These parrots are annoying as hell, though. My mom's like, it sounds like a pet store out there. And I'm like, okay, all right, I know.
Like, for some reason, a comment like that coming from your own mother makes it infuriating. Like, if anyone else said it, it's funny. But when your own mom says it, you're like, okay, so, and I'm a failure. Great, get out.
Right. Like, no, I just bought this house. No big deal.
You're like, oh, but the fuck-ass parrots.
We love you. And we will see you next week.
We will.
Damn it.
Damn it!
Okay. Bye, toodle.
Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do-it-yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.